to talk about one word in that verse, and that is the word gave. But a couple of thoughts before we begin. You know, just a couple of days ago, the son of Madoff, who was a thief and took $50 billion from people and left widows without houses and robbed charities, his son took his own life a couple of days ago. And you know, the song that we sung says, "Why perish, then, ye careless ones? Why slight the gracious call? Why turn from him whose words proclaim eternal life to all?" You know, that man passed into a lost eternity, most likely. But it wasn't that he wasn't loved. It wasn't that there wasn't comfort available. He just didn't want it. He rejected it. And you know, I've been, I was tell you a little story. I've been working with a client from Temecula, and he found out that I go to church in Hemet. And really piqued his interest. And so the other evening, well, a couple of weeks ago, he asked, you know, why, you know, how come you can't find a church closer to your house? You know, it was a fair question. And you know, I thought about that afterwards. I gave him an answer, and I think it was all right. But then he brought it up again the other evening. And I told him this, and I'll tell you this, young people, that if we believe that there is a God, and if we believe that he has told us about himself in this book, and that he created everything that we see, and he arranged it all for his glory and for our blessing, what occupation could be more important than knowing more about him? What responsibility we have to know him and to know what pleases him and to know my condition before him, but also what a privilege to know the infinite, to know, to be instructed, to be wise, not to be simple and not to be foolish, not to be occupied with myself, but to have before my soul a subject, an object that transcends anything that we could have in this world. This man is a very rich man. His dad built warehouses in downtown San Francisco, and they've been paid off since 1935, and they're in the family. But you know, this man, I have a sense that he's searching. And so it happens that, just to finish the story, that he was given the family Bible that is dated back to 1830. And, you know, first he started looking at all the marriages and the genealogy, and pretty soon he started reading the book. And so his first question was, "Do you read the Old Testament?" And I said, "Yeah, I read the Old Testament." So he asked where he should start reading. I said, "Well, you start in Genesis, and when you get more into it, I'll take you through Leviticus." And he kind of smiled because he looked at Leviticus, and he didn't Understand much there. But you know, we have a God that has revealed himself. He has come forth out of eternity. And he loves. In our verse, it says that he gave. He gave his only son. And I want to talk about that word gave. And what's been before me lately is the word delivered. Delivered. First of all, why did God step forth out of eternity and give his son? Well, we might say one of the reasons is for his glory. Sin came into the world, and sin was the most horrible thing to God. It was the most mighty enemy and the thing at which it was least likely that he could counteract in his holiness. And yet he did. He came forth mighty to save, and he gave his son and proved that he could redeem. He proved that he was the mighty God, that nothing was beyond his ability. There is going to be a day when there will be no blight on creation. There's going to be a new created heaven and earth, and God will be glorified in it. There'll be no blot. There'll be nothing there to stain that scene. Are you, young person, going to be there? Are you looking forward to that? Or are you careless tonight, thinking about other things, distracted? Another thing we might say, well, you know, a lot of times we think, and we get the word in some of our hymns, and that is pity. You know, we see somebody that's just really in a miserable state, and what emotion wells up is pity. We feel sorry for them. We want to help them. I have a sister that just couldn't help but take in stray cats. And she's sitting on the back row, just full of pity for animals and people. And so it is. We can identify with that. We think, well, that's why the Lord saved me, because he pitied me. He didn't want me to go to hell. Well, it's true, he did pity us, and he didn't want us to go to hell. And that's one of the reasons, one of the things. And the other thing is, he was faithful. You know, I dealt with a woman some years ago, and I told her I believe in a God that was a faithful creator. When something came into his creation, he took responsibility for it and he fixed it. He didn't lay the blame on somebody else. And that is faithfulness. In other words, was sin God's fault? No, it wasn't God's fault. Was it his ideal? No, it wasn't. But it was his purpose that through that he would show forth his faithfulness. As a faithful creator, what happened, we might say in common terms, on his watch, he would address and he would cure. And every one of us in the room tonight either has that cure or needs that cure. But I heard something else that I've been enjoying the last couple of weeks. And that is the expression, fullness of joy. In Psalm 16, we have the expression from the psalmist that in thy presence is fullness of joy. Time is going fast, so I won't turn to all these scriptures. But think of that. In eternity past, the Godhead in light, in full communion, enjoying fullness of joy. You want to be happy? Children, young people, older ones? That's what God has enjoyed for all eternity is fullness of joy. That means joy at such a level that it cannot be greater. The cup is full. Nothing hindering that fellowship, that communion, that enjoyment. And you know, it says in Acts 16, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe that God in eternity past was enjoying something and he thought, you know, I want to share this. He was gracious. He was faithful. He was pitiful, all those things. But there's something even greater, and that is he wanted to give us something that he himself enjoyed. And that's what we have in the first epistle of John. We have the God come forth in light and love and giving us a new nature that can enjoy the very thing that God enjoys. And that's what is going to satisfy him in the eternal state. God being all in all and having us there enjoying fellowship with himself without hindrance. What a thought that is. What an elevating thing. It lifts us right above this world. But how did he accomplish it? He gave his only son. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. I'm looking for the verse, delivered him us up for us all. 8:32. And I'm going to just pick words out of this. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up. He delivered him up. He delivered him up. You know, when those we love, when there's some trial, we really instinctively want to shelter those that we love from the brunt of the blow. It was, my daughter had a really bad boss. And for a while I thought it was a good thing for her to experience. And finally there came a day when I said, go in tomorrow and quit. Enough is enough. So I spared her. And, you know, there's been things that happen in our household, and sometimes, and there's none right now, I can tell you, but sometimes I haven't told my wife, you know, because I want to wait till the right time to tell her something went wrong, you see. We try to spare each other, those we love, and there was no love ever stronger than the love of the Father for the Son. But he delivered him up. And how did he deliver him up? You know, you and I are cared for by a faithful Creator. Do we have waters? Do we go into the waters as we might read in Psalm 69? Do they come into our soul? Yes, yes, they do. But do we have comfort? Are we hopeless? Do we have security in knowing that underneath are the everlasting arms? That man that took his own life because he thought life wasn't worth living is going to meet a Creator that was willing to save him and make his life a happy one just for asking. Every one of us is cared for. You know, our sister Jeanette, she stood up this afternoon and she thanked us for prayers and for love. You know, there's nothing like a hug. There's nothing like the human touch. There's nothing like compassion from our fellow man and from our brethren. It really warms the soul. But when God sent his son, He delivered him up. No protection. In our hymn, one of the hymns we sung this morning, delivered unto shame and death. Was that a surprise? No, it was known. And you know, another example I have, last night, Rose and I went in a jacuzzi for the first time in a while, and I got overheated, and I jumped into the pool on December the 11th, 2010. And I didn't step in. I knew that if I stepped, do we have some nice steps going down in the pool? I knew that if I stepped, I would never jump in. And I was so hot, I needed to jump in. And so I stood at the end and I jumped in. And it was cold. But I never would have done it if I'd stepped in. Let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 4.
When God delivered up His Son,
it was measured. It wasn't in a hurry. It was in due time. It was all according to God's plan and purpose. There was no emergency. And let's turn. Let's read chapter 4. I suppose we can start with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, I probably mentioned these verses before. They're some of my favorites. I think of God delivering up his Son, the Lord coming into this world. But it doesn't say he just came. It says that he descended. You know, if I'd gone in that pool last night and I had descended, I would have given up. But here was one that fully knew that he was leaving however you want to put it, heaven's glory. He was humbling himself, becoming a man, and he was descending one step at a time. Each step down, known and measured in the eternal counsels of God. The penalty of sin, what awaited him, all known and all appreciated in his soul as he came into this world. There was no sudden immersion. You know, Jacob sent forth Joseph, but he didn't know that Joseph, he was sending him forth to suffering. But when the Father sent the Son, he knew. He knew. He was delivering him up. It's like the ark in the Old Testament. You know, the Israelites took it and they used it in battle, and the Philistines took it and they carried it whithersoever they would. Eventually, they had to return it. But that is what the Lord's lot was in this world. I wrote down some, and I'm going to just read them off. The Lord said of himself that the Son shall be delivered up. For envy, David delivered him up. They delivered him to be crucified. He was delivered of the chief priests. Pilate delivered him. His body was delivered. In Acts, who ye delivered up. That's what God gave him up to. Imagine giving up your child, knowing that he would just be passed around by common, filthy, dirty men. You know, there is nothing like man. I know for myself, man is the master of the insult. And here God came forth in the person of his Son, and he was insulted. He was rejected. He was gracious. He was patient. And yet he was delivered up. God giving him over to what was ahead of him. He went through waters that you and I can never go through because God is looking after us. He is longing for us. Young person, child in the room that understands, God loves you. And we come to this room because the Word of God is open and the Lord is in the midst. And I believe it is here that we get the truths that lead us to understand and to appreciate the fullness of God coming forth out of eternity to reveal the greatness of his being, his person, his love, his grace, his power, all those things to us enough to fill our hearts and to eclipse every other subject. You know, it says that the Lord looked for some to take pity, and he found none. You know, our sister Jeanette had many to take pity on her. We all, when we're in a trial, why, we find amongst the brethren, we find even in the world, pity for us. You know, even worldly men feel loss and sympathy for somebody who's had loss. But when the Lord of glory came, those same hearts crafted insult, shame, rejection to the very limit of God's patience. And yet he bore with it. He delivered him up for us all. Romans 8 again. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, was even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy day sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just this week, we got the news. Someone we know very well, 15 years old or 16 years old, coming to meeting, like all of us here in the room, ever since she was a baby, 3 times a week, was just saved. And I thought, what a thing. Maybe there's one in the room tonight, a young person that is among these foolish and careless ones. You say, well, I'm not slighting the gracious call. I'm just not taking advantage of it. Well, it is slighting it. It's neglecting. It's saying those things are not so important. You know, it's like I tried to tell this man the other evening. What could be more important? What can be more interesting? What could be more satisfying than knowing the one that has come forth out of eternity to save my soul and to reveal himself in the person of his beloved son? I trust that if there is a young person in the room tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they will be saved tonight before you go to sleep. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our God and Father, we thank Thee that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We thank Thee that Thou didst give Him. Thou didst deliver Him up. Thou didst make Him an offering for sin. Thou didst lay upon Him in those 3 dark hours the penalty of sin that we could never pay. And so, our God and Father, we pray Thy blessing that we might contemplate the why Thou wouldst deliver up, that Thou wouldst have sons rejoicing in Thy glory and in Thy home for all eternity, full of joy. And the how, the terrible price, the terrible cost of our redemption. We thank Thee and we praise Thee, and we ask Thee that Thou wouldst use these words from Thy word for the blessing of each one of us and our comfort. We ask it with thanksgiving in Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.